Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Hello, Chiefs fans. Welcome to another edition of the Arrowhead Addict podcast. If you're looking at your watch, if you're wondering if the total eclipse happened and all of our sundials have misadjusted, whatever's going on, we're actually coming to you at a different time, our new time. Is that right, Sterling?
Yeah, baby. Full time, baby.
Full time, new time at 4 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Central. For those of you who are with us, we are so glad to see you. I've been gone a little bit. I was in the Rico de Puerto. I was in, I think that's how they say it. I think they say the Rico de Puerto is how it's said. So I've been living a little lodge down in one of the official U.S. territories. It's not a state, but it's also like not quite another country. I mean, it is another country, but anyway, whatever it is, it was beachy and good and whatever. You could tell from my luscious tan. How are you, man? You held down the fort. How was it?
Yeah, the fort, we got invaded. The fort got invaded. I did my best, Connor, to keep the folks out, but I'm glad you're back, man. I've missed you. I missed those luscious locks, that sultry voice. I cannot wait to do another show with you.
Yeah. Hey, so here's what you think. You think I'm going to disappear for a week in late March, early April, and maybe the Chiefs will host a visit with a guy, a Blaine Gabbert of a guy, if you will. And you go away for a spring break with your kiddo, and you come back, and suddenly it's like Grand Theft Auto in the streets. It's we're hosting Dobbins and Winces and Rugbys all over the place. Like, there's more activity in the last few days for the Chiefs than there has been for like the previous 2 weeks. And suddenly I'm looking at our list of things here and I'm like, boy, I thought maybe Sterling and I would peel the cap off early for the draft and start talking draft crushes. Instead, I got to like look up Aussie rules football and start figuring out what's going on with all the things. Just want to know what you think of the kind of the craziness of the Chiefs right now. Like, are you loving all this news? Like, is it a little mixed for you? Of course, the Rashee Rice news no one really likes. But
yeah, besides that one sucks. And give me 1 second. I got to look up. Apparently, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, according to Ian Rappaport, CEH is now back in Kansas City.
Whoa, there it is.
1 year deal. I don't have any recollection or I don't have any news as far as
the terms,
but it is a 1 year deal. Obviously the rumors of J.K. Dobbins, which we'll get to in a moment. We will obviously hit on Rashee Rice, but yeah, I love all the moves right now. I mean, again, it's nothing major. It's not like we're sitting here saying, oh yeah, they're trading for Amon-Ra St. Brown or Justin Jefferson. No. But still, these are the moves at this time of the year.
Yeah.
It gives you something to talk about and something to say, okay, this is the depth. Now, here is the depth signings, which, again, I think are very important. As we saw last year, the Chiefs, I think the depth was what really carried them through the playoffs and what ended having them hoisting the Lombardi at the end of the season. It was the fact that they had backups like Nick Allegretti that they could trust. You know, in previous seasons, it was the backup quarterback who came in into a playoff game, who had a drive that helped them get over the top. It was a backup running back who made a play. It was a backup wide receiver who made a play. So
great point.
I know it's sometimes where we gloss over these and think it's, oh, who cares about that guy? But come January, come February, when dudes are banged up, you never know how big of an impact those guys might make.
Yeah, yeah. Well, look, we got a lot to get into here. Let's actually lead with Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and we'll get to that because obviously that, I think that's what everyone's like wanting to talk about right here from the jump. But we got a little offer first, right? Don't we?
Oh, yes, we do. Everyone listening right now, who's watching right now, who's talking right now, who wants to throw some money down right now on the Final Four or golf. DraftKings is offering a fantastic sign-up bonus for new users. New customers can place a $5 first bet on any sport to instantly claim $150 in bonus bets when you sign up with our code Arrowhead. The best part is that you'll receive your rewards even if your first bet loses. Using our code Arrowhead not only gets you these great bonuses, but it also directly supports our podcast. So if you've been considering signing up for DraftKings, make sure you use the code Arrowhead to maximize your first bets. This offer is only available to new customers with 21 plus and visit the present legal gambling dates. Please remember to order responsibly. Check the episode description for the full terms of the offer to see if you qualify.
Love it. You do that so well.
Until you said fine print, and that made me crack. That one, when I heard fine print, that was...
I'm trying on my side.
The real men of genius, you know, those old commercials just.
I'm trying over here. I'm trying. All right. So the news of the order, we'll get to everything else. We're going to talk Rashee Rice. We're going to talk rugby players joining the team. We're going to talk about Carson Wentz, all that. We'll probably touch on a little bit of draft, but. Clyde, go ahead. What were you going to say?
Let's get Dobbins and CEH all in one right now. Let's kind of, in totality, break down this means.
So just for the sake of review, for people who don't know, early this morning, word dropped from Dobbins agents that J.K. Dobbins was in Kansas City for a visit. Yes, that's the same J.K. Dobbins who has suffered an Achilles injury out last year, a torn ACL, 2 years before that, and there was another knee injury between those two that took him out for a half season. That being said, it's also the same J.K. Dobbins that rushed for over 2,000 yards, the only Ohio State Buckeye ever to do so at a school where running backs reign supreme. That's a big deal if you're a school that's graduated Eddie George and the like to be Dobbins in that crew. That said, he visited Arrowhead today, and then now 8 hours later, the Chiefs respond by saying, hey, we enjoyed our J.K. Dobbins visit so much, we've signed Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I'm going to pitch it to you. What do you make of the visit and the signing?
One of the common threads of small businesses is that so few are responsible for so many things. That's what makes it vital to have the right people in the right places. This is where LinkedIn Jobs comes in, and that's why we want to tell you about them. When you're hiring for your small business, you need to find quality professionals that are right for the role. And that's why LinkedIn Jobs is so vital. They have the tools to help you find the right people for your team faster and for free. Look, LinkedIn isn't just another job board. They have a vast network of more than 1 billion professionals, which makes it the best place to hire. It gives you access to professionals you can't find anywhere else, and they do all that while making the process easy and intuitive. Look, hiring is easy when you have that many qualified candidates. So easy, in fact, that 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. 2.5 million small businesses are already using LinkedIn for hiring. You should too. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/arrowhead. That's linkedin.com/arrowhead to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply.
Save big money at Menards. Let the fresh air in and keep the bugs out with replacement screen for your doors and windows from AdForce. It's easy to install, durable against the elements, and comes in a variety of types to suit your needs. Repair your screens today with a roll of replacement screen on sale through May 5th. And check out more great deals happening now in our weekly flyer on Menards.com. Save big money at Menards.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I don't think it necessarily completely removes J.K. Dobbins off the table, but that would also lead me to believe that maybe the meeting did not go great. I'm not saying that these have to be correlated, but 24 games in 4 years for J.K. Dobbins is not good.
Right.
Right. I think it's exciting. And if J.K. Dobbins still signs with Kansas City, I think it's still a good move. We know the injuries that happen to the running back position. We always say going into a year, when's the last time the Chiefs finished with all of their running backs healthy? They just don't. Like, how often they play the entire season? They just don't. It's the nature of the beast. So even if J.K. Dobbins is here and with Clyde back and Isaiah Pacheco, like, well, who's getting the touches? Well, they will all get the touches at some point, because more often than not, or more likely than not, it's unfortunate, but someone is going to get hurt.
Yeah.
Who's it going to be? Well, I don't know. Pacheco's already been hurt in his young career. Clyde's been injured in his young career. J.K. Dobbins has been injured in his young career. You could pick any of the guys. It could be two of the guys. It could be all three of the guys. You don't know, but you want to throw bodies at a position. J.K. Dobbins, I know he wants to get paid. I'm sorry, you're not going to get paid. 24 games in 4 years, you went 15, what was it, out, then eight, and then one. It's just not going to happen. Again, my concern is, how explosive is he going to be? Are we looking at a Justin Ross situation, a what if? Congratulations, I'd be in great in college, but injuries piled up. It happens. It sucks, but it happens. Again, I don't know if this necessarily means J.K. Dobbins will not be a Kansas City Chief. I would still like to see it happen, obviously, based on what the contract would look like. I don't think a contract for J.K. Dobbins would be anything extreme. If you wanted to add a second year on, you can, because, again, Clyde's only back on a one-year deal. You know, the Clyde, to me, is just insurance. He knows the offense. He knows what he's supposed to do. Is he good? No, he's fine. He's just a guy, but the Chiefs obviously value having him in the locker room. It's just a one-year deal. I'm completely fine with them bringing Clyde back.
Yeah. I think Ice-T would say body count, body count, body count in the house. By the way, Ice-T had a heavy metal band, Body Count.
Hmm.
Slight bit of trivia there for you from the late 80s, early 90s, if some of you know. Anyway, look. Here's what I think. I think the two are completely unrelated. That's what I say. J.K. Dobbins is its own thing. If you get anything from Dobbins, it's a cherry on top, but no one in their right mind would ever count on him as like part of our like group of horses going into a season, because you can't count on him because he hardly ever plays. That said, man, I've watched him run after a couple of these major injuries. The dude was still as effective as he was before the end. I mean, the guy averages 5.8 yards per carry career, and much of that was after a significant injury the first time around after tearing his ACL. Look, he is, on paper, more talented than any running back on the Chiefs roster. If he's healthy and signed, he's better than Pacheco. We're not talking about lightning and thunder. We're talking about lead back J.K. Dobbins for the Chiefs if he signs and he's healthy. And I think maybe that's the rub. I think maybe that's the rub, because earlier, I don't know if you follow the drama in Baltimore, but Dobbins was like, why aren't I getting my own carries? Like, there was a whole drama thing where he was like demanding some of his own stuff. And I think there's maybe some pride there. Dobbins has already visited the Chargers, and they were like, go ahead and go. And they signed Gus Edwards instead. Now he's in
which case. Is even a bigger kick in the nuts, considering Gus Edwards was his running mate, the guy who was cutting into his carries.
Correct. So this is what it leads me to believe. It leads me to believe that J.K. Dobbins is going in saying, hey, I'm not taking a veteran minimum. You got to give me some money. And I think every team is going, look, you're talented enough that we'd love to bring you in, but you got to be kidding me. You've ended up on the shelf three of the last 4 years with injuries that sideline most guys. So you're going to have to, sorry, buddy, you need a dose of humility if you want to come along, feel free to come along. And the Chiefs, more than any other team, can say that, because they can say, if you want to come along, feel free to come here and win a Super Bowl. But so if he's healthy, though, I think he knows he brings something to the table that no one else can. I mean, the guy was, he was a high second round pick for a reason. He came into the league. He can do what he does. And I think he can do more than Pacheco, for that matter. I mean, Pacheco's a great story. He's a former seventh round pick. And I love Pacheco. But I don't think these two are related. I think the Chiefs can look at Dobbins and go, hey, you want to sign minimum 1 year, incentive loaded deal? Feel free. Here's the contract. Feel free to go home and look at it at your heart's content, at your own leisure. And then they turn to Clyde and they go, we were never going to count on Dobbins anyway. We still need a guy to be here dependably behind Pacheco. Now, of course, Clyde has his own injury issues in the past too. So take that for what you will. But he's Mitchell Schwartz compared to J.K. Dobbins. So I don't think the two are related. I think the Chiefs could look at Clyde and go, hey, we're interested in something with you that helps us keep for reaching for a back in the draft. And I think they could look at Dobbins and go, hey, you'd be the cherry on top of the offensive sundae if you want to come sign. And I think those two together are what we're talking about
here. Yeah, I disagree just slightly with if Dobbins is healthy, he's the guy in Kansas City. I don't believe that. I think it's still Pacheco. I know what Dobbins wants, but it's what the NFL is going to do. Like, I want $1 million. It ain't going to happen. Like you have to earn it. And he's a nothing in the NFL, J.K. Dobbins, to have earned that. Again, we talk about the yards per carry and win healthy, but the win healthy is such sure. a necessary part of the equation as a football player and as a running back that it doesn't really matter. I'm with you. He talked about wanting to get paid. And then what happened? He got injured. He missed he played one game last year. So, yeah. I mean, it's going to be on him. The onus is now on J.K. Dobbins to say, all right, this is on me. I have to prove myself yet again. What can I do? I don't know if the Chiefs, again, what that means. We're reading between the tea leaves here. And again, it could mean nothing. But if he was like, no, I want to be the guy, that she's go, yeah, okay, JK, we'll be in touch. All right, Clyde, we know that you're a guy who you're not going to complain. You're going to be the backup and you'll be dependable. You're not as talented, but we don't have to worry about you. Could be the case as well. I see a question here from Lauren Shanks says, why not just pick up the fifth-year option if this was on the table for CEH? Correct me if I'm wrong here, Matt. I think you have to have the fifth-year option decided by the end of the third year.
Yeah, coming into the fourth year, you can exercise that and be so, a lot more pricey.
So you would have had to have already decided that the year prior. The Chiefs were no decision to say, hey, yeah, let's go ahead and do that. And that was going to be a pricey fifth year. I would have to imagine this is much cheaper than what that fifth year option was going to be for Clyde. So that's why, again, you have to determine that by as you're heading into the fourth year prior. That's why, you know, Josh Jacobs, for example, ended up getting paid last year because the fifth year option was not picked up by the Raiders. And the Raiders were kind of like, oh, well, bleep, we got to pay this guy now. So it can work out one way. It cannot work out. It's a risk you take with the fifth year option if you do not pick it up. Again, if the Chiefs do not decide to bring in J.K. Dobbins, I still think a running back in the draft makes some sort of sense. You know, Cody Schrader, a guy from the University of Missouri, is a guy I think who's perpetually been proving people wrong. Again, he's not explosive. He's not a guy that you're going to sit and just get wowed by his speed, but he always falls forward. He always puts up numbers, good pass protector, good pass catcher as well. Can do a little bit of everything. Although in the same sense, you're probably saying, is that a guy like CEH? Now, I think he's probably better than CEH, but again, CEH had the better measurables. There's a reason why one guy is going to be what was drafted in the first round and Cody Schrader is going to be a day three pick. I don't know if the Chiefs are looking to go that route. Again, we'll see where the Chiefs go, but Clyde Edwards-Helaire back on a one-year deal.
Let me ask you about this about Clyde, then we'll move on. Were you surprised that there was no market for Clyde under the banner of change of scenery? Because I think I was. You got a guy, like you mentioned, he's a first-rounder. First back taken in that draft was heralded for his hands and a well-rounded game coming out of LSU. With that pedigree, I guess I would think that maybe another team would have been like, yeah, we'd like to take a chance and see if we if we used him in a different way, what we could get out of him.
There are so many good running backs, man. Just the NFL is littered with good running backs, cheap running backs that fit their system. You know, I think if you're another team, you're sitting here going, but where do we gain an advantage with Clyde? The Chiefs sit here and say, well, he knows the system. We know he's going to be a willing backup. He's not going to complain. But let's just say, for example, you are, I don't know. I wanted to say the Steelers because they have Jalen Warren and Najee Harris. Where they're like, yeah, let's just get a third back. Where does he evolve that running back situation? Where does he evolve the Dallas Cowboys situation now that Tony Pollard's gone? Like, I don't know where he has the advantage over certain other players. He's just one of those guys who I think actually fits better in Kansas City just because he knows the system, and that's going to give him the largest boost. I think he's a fine running back at best. End of the day, the NFL is littered with extremely talented backs.
Yeah, I guess I was surprised there. I thought he'd find a new team and a fresh place to play. But yeah, back again for a fifth year in Kansas City. Here for a first year in Kansas City, we had Chad Henne on the sidelines for several years. And now we got a little bit of a carousel going on. Blaine Gabbert comes in for a year. He's gone. Now we have Carson Wentz. Carson Wentz signs with the Chiefs, one-year deal, still in his early 30s, has, 93 career starts, I think. I think he's got a positive record in that, like 158 touchdowns and 40-something interceptions, I think. When you read that, like when you thought about either bringing Gabbert back or the other list of potential candidates – and then finding out that it's Carson Wentz. What was the original, like, the instinctual feeling from you? And then how are you feeling about it now that you've had some time?
I legitimately thought it was an April Fool's joke.
Okay.
Like, I did. I think
a lot of people did. I mean, yeah.
I didn't mean it in, like, a bad way. I wasn't trying to take a shot at Carson Wentz or anything like that. It was like, it just felt kind of funny. Like, oh, okay, haha, quarterback battle in Kansas City, Carson Wentz. It's funny. And then I looked into it more. I'm like, okay, I kind of see where Andy Reid, Brett Veach, and the team is coming from. He obviously has some sort of talent. He was a Pro Bowler. Again, he went downhill hard after his injury, which is a little surprising because for a quarterback, you think that he would bounce back. Never did. But I think if you're Andy Reid, you're sitting here going, I like veteran quarterbacks with experience. Well, he has a lot of experience. Andy Reid gets the best out of every single quarterback. Chad Henne, Matt Moore, Kevin Cobb, like he coaches guys up. So in a small sample size, he's sitting here going, all right, I have a veteran quarterback with more upside than Blaine Gabbert. He's younger than Blaine Gabbert. He can run the QB sneak if you actually need him to. But again, we thought the same thing with Blaine Gabbert and the Chiefs never did it. So I think it's more of a pipe dream than anything else. But the more I think about it, the more I'm intrigued by Carson Wentz. I thought he was going to bounce back a couple of years ago. I think with the Colts, he was horrendous. Two scoops, give him the three scoops of ass. That guy was atrocious, right? He was the reason they missed the playoffs. But with Andy Reid, he's no longer the guy. He's a backup, no pressure. Played in two games last year with the Rams. I kind of like it for Kansas City in a nutshell.
Yeah. Look, we're talking about QB2 here. That's as exciting as anyone should get about this. That said, he's the best backup quarterback the Chiefs have had since Patrick Mahomes was the backup quarterback behind Alex Smith, right? Like, let's be serious about Chad Henne's ceiling. I think Wentz could do more if he was ever called upon to do it. No one wants to call upon him to do it. I also think it's a savvy move by Carson. If you're 31, he just stopped vying for starting offers last year. He finally said, okay, I guess I'm backing up Stafford for a full season. So he does so. But maybe if he has an itch to start again, the one place you go to go, you know what? Let me like Andy Reid's going to rub off on me.
Let me start week 18.
Some of the mystique. Yeah, he played well in week 18 this year. Went over the think over the Chargers to solidify playoff positioning for the Rams. Why not? I mean, if you're going to go somewhere and fool a team into giving you potential starter money, and I don't mean like big Kirk Cousins money, but I mean like Gardner Minshew money, right? If you're going to do that, there's a big difference there. There's a big difference between paying someone $3 million like Chad Henne and paying someone like $10 million like a Minshew type of, or a Brissett, or someone who's actually going to probably start a few games before the youngster gets in there. If Wentz wants to make several million more, it makes sense to me that he would go, hey, I'll go back up Mahomes, win a ring, get all that Chiefs magic all in my resume, and then come out the other side still 32 with the pedigree, you know, with a little bit of a resume to it. So I like it. I like it for the security it provides. I'm not over the moon about it because I'm not over the moon by about any backup quarterback.
Sure.
But that's where it is.
I also think this is a chance for him to reconfigure his emotion, his perception about him as as a guy in the locker room, because supposedly he's not a great locker room guy. You know, that was the issue with the Eagles and wherever else he's gone. He's supposedly kind of his own dude. He wants to he thought he was a superstar because he was drafted second overall.
Yeah.
Right. And then he got his job. He got injured, got his job taken. That is my one concern is he going to be a locker room cancer? But maybe it's answered by the Chiefs bringing him in and him realizing, hey, I know I'm not starting here. I'm not going to Oakland, or should I say Las Vegas, where I might compete for a starting spot. And if I don't get it, I'm going to be pissed.
Yeah.
He knows when he comes to Kansas City, he ain't going to, no matter what happens in OTAs, training camp, preseason, barring an injury.
Yeah.
He's going to be the backup. So maybe this is him swallowing his pride and trying to reconfigure the perception about him in a locker room. If he ever again wants to get another starting job, I think this is the place to start. I think you're right there, Connor.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but I mean, if you're Andy Reid, the first call I make is to Doug Peterson to say, how was it? Right. I mean, like, I'm not mistiming this, right? Like those two cross paths in Philly. If Andy Reid wants a good read on what Carson Wentz is like in the locker room, you call one of your closest coaching buddies in your coaching tree and say, what was it like working with him in Philadelphia? And you get the skinny on it right there. So, you know, they're not making this signing without doing their homework. You know, they're not signing like some guy who's going to sit in the corner and write screaming infidelities in his own like emo mood while the rest of the locker room gets together and celebrates or something. I mean, this is,
not singing some, hey, dad, look at me. Not doing the Simple Plan song. He's not doing that. I can see Carson Wentz doing that. Just looking at him, I could see him doing that.
I could be. By the way, the other exciting signing is Rhys Zammit coming out of the Welsh rugby star. Like new NFL kickoff rule. Like, what do you make of this whole thing?
I've seen a lot of ladies more excited than I think actual Chiefs, than the dudes. Like, I've seen more pictures of that guy posted on the X than any dude I have seen in a Chiefs uniform before. It's hilarious.
He's got great hair.
Great hair. But yeah, I just found that very funny. I'm like, dude, I've seen more of his just still pictures than him actually doing anything in a rugby uniform. I think it's interesting, though. I don't know what this eventually amounts to. If this were any other season pre new kickoff rules, I'd say I wouldn't think anything of this.
Yes. Yes.
I think nothing of this. But because the new kickoff rules, I'm intrigued. Because he's on that program where he doesn't count against the practice squad. Correct. I don't know if he counts against the act of the 53 man. There's some weird wording when you look it up of what it counts against these overseas players.
It doesn't against the practice squad either.
I know it doesn't against the practice squad, but I don't know about the 53. I don't know how that breaks down, but I like it. Like, why wouldn't you give a guy a shot with these new rules? You got to carry the ball different. You're not carrying it like a – they carry rugby balls so interestingly to me. Like, I get the balls bigger, but they just carry between their bicep and their forearm, and they just kind of like do – it's a lot different than how you carry a football. So you've got to learn that because you might see a lot of fumbles if not.
That's how I carry my beer normally, my six-pack. I put it in my
– right there?
I don't know what I'm saying. Yeah,
It seems like a bad idea. It seems like you're going to break some glass, dude.
Yeah, I don't know what I'm saying. I started a joke and it went nowhere.
Well, I find it interesting with the new kickoff rule, and I think it's something to at least monitor. There's nothing we can find out, though, until really OTAs, training camp, and preseason especially rolls around.
Yeah. I will just add this. I know it's without pads on, but anyone who can run 24 and a half miles per hour, that's approaching neighborhood speed limits. I don't know what to say to that, except at least take a look at the guy, right? At least take a look at the guy.
If you're in a school zone, you're getting pulled over.
Yeah. Yeah. That's crazy. That's crazy to me. So yeah, why not? And if nothing else, you sell some jerseys for the wives. That's what you do.
You know what? I like it from Swiss Mr. KC. Always appreciate it. It says, Kelsey Tranquil, new rugby guy. We got quite a GQ catalog on the roster. Chiefs GQ calendars. There you go.
I mean, it wouldn't even equal our calendar. Let's be honest.
Yeah, let's be real. The Arrowhead Addict calendar, we should make one.
Dude, I'm basically January through June myself. I mean, not to be boastful, but let's be honest. You know,
I'll do the summer months in. I'll get my Red Hot Chili Peppers look on.
Dude, love it. Get that flea going on. Love it.
I hope you like socks.
You make me laugh, and I got a cough. Okay, serious matters. Hate to talk about it, but need to talk about it. There's a lot that we don't know. There's more that we don't know than we do know. But at the very least, Rashee Rice was found and has been in communication after being missing or incommunicado for the first bit there. We have seen NFL players get in trouble to varying degrees for driving while impaired or driving recklessly or both, causing injury, causing death in the horrible case of Henry Ruggs. We've also seen like a DUI lead to just hitting a light post and a player getting a couple games suspended. We've seen all kinds of range of punishments. At the very least here, there is a working with authorities, not like ran away in the first place. This whole thing is really convoluted. I'll just go to you. Like, what do you make of things now as they stand and what we know?
Yeah, I want to try and speak more in generalities here than specifics because we don't know the specifics. And as we saw from the Tyreek Hill situation, you need to wait until all the facts really arise. So I'm speaking here more in generalities than I am specifics. Again, it's just a bad look either way, right? No matter what, it's going to be a bad look. My initial reaction is more or less a 4-game suspension. Again, in generalities here, if it looks more like a street racing situation, I will never understand this. I know a lot of young folks, they love to street race. And when you're a millionaire and you're back in your hometown and you're with some friends, you're sitting here again. I don't know if he's driving or what the kid, but like, I'm just sitting here going, I don't get it, but it's very common. It's the world we live in at this point. And while we can say it's stupid and we never did anything like that, like, don't get me wrong, I'll go 80, 79 on most times in a 70 or 84 in a 75, you know, 9 over is kind of my go-to. I want to throw that bad boy in cruise control, but you're not sitting here doing this. You're not going, whatever you're going by cars on the shoulder. Like, I will never understand that. Maybe because when I was that age, I didn't have a car that could go over 70 miles an hour. Sorry, my 1994 baby blue Toyota RAV4 was not getting past 60. Mm. If I did, the wheel started to shake, and that was very scary situation. So maybe I was never put in that situation because I was not a millionaire with a very fast car. I just don't get this. I don't get it.
Yeah.
I don't. Like, I know you feel on top of the world because you won a Super Bowl and you're a rookie and you got all this money and you're back in your home state and you're having... What? Like, I again, we'll wait until the facts come out, and let's try not to rush to conclusions too much. Maybe it just comes out that it was a young dude being stupid, but it's perplexing to me.
Yeah. I hope Rice, and I hope the team learns from even their own recent playbooks that the Chiefs have been through, right? Like, Kareem Hunt could still be on the Chiefs, or at least could have stayed, if he hadn't lied about his scenario. It wasn't the scenario. It was the fact that he kept lying to them about what had actually happened. And then when video came out, then he's backed into a corner. They can't trust him.
Frank Clark had a bleeping Uzi, and the Chiefs were like, okay, well, that's fine.
They signed DeMinihue knowing he was going to serve. He was a free agent with a domestic violence charge and a suspension hanging over his head. And the Chiefs were like, do you want 2 years or three? Like, you know, they gave him a 2 year. I mean, so the incident is not the thing. I don't think he's going to be off the team and whatever. I mean, at least if he plays it right, I don't think Rashee Rice is gone, whatever.
It's probably a 4-game suspension. Like,
I agree. I think a lot of people are like going to make this bigger than what it is, but the key thing is going to be his willingness to play along and do the right thing after not doing the right thing. That's going to be vitally important here for all parties involved. I hate the optics of this. I hate it. I hate it for a young player who has so much potential. I hate it for any bystanders who were hurt or traumatized in this. It's ridiculous that these things happen, like to a mom driving in a minivan kind of thing. I also hate the optics because, look, let's be honest, Andy Reid's own son has been in the news for causing, you know, for driving while impaired, causing damage, gets a pardon from the governor. I mean, it's just not, it's all so tragic, and it's not good looks. And it's like, gosh, can't we just like hire someone to like coach people on how to handle their fame and their fortune and whatever. But that said, like you said, there's a lot we don't know. What's interesting to me, I'll throw this back to you. Just curious. When I saw it, I thought, oh my gosh, it was just 5 years ago that, like, right before the draft. In fact, it was like draft day, the Tyreek Hill saga came out, and suddenly Brett Veach was like, well, we just worked for the last year setting up our draft board, but now there's a giant cloud over wide receiver, and they took Mecole Hardman to start that draft, who always felt like a should we have, could we have, what was that pick? Was it a mimic pick? Was it a fallback pick? It just makes me wonder whether we're going to see some of that same thing play out in this draft. We know they need a wide receiver, so that's not the thing. But, you know, if Rice is in play, yeah, I don't know. I just found it interesting that we're in kind of sort of the same scenario of cloud at wide receiver shortly before the draft.
Yeah, Brady brought up that exact same point. He goes, just like the Tyreek situation is right before the draft, I wonder if it will change the draft plan like our Mecole pick. Yeah. The reason why I say no is because the Chiefs are already going to draft a wide receiver early. At least that's the thought process. No one was sitting here going, yeah, the Chiefs wide receiver group is full. Maybe they'll take a flyer in the fifth. The plan was always going to be a first or second round wide receiver to begin with, right? So I don't think that changes. Like, if Ladd McConkey's there at 32, they were probably going to take him either way, right? Like that. That's more or less my thought process here. Maybe they take one in the first or second and one now in the fifth or something as insurance. But again, I still think that was probably a possibility either way. Mm-hmm. Because you and I think, are both in agreement. This is not a career ending, a season ending. Most likely it's a 4-game suspension situation. So I don't think the Chiefs all of a sudden having to scramble the way with the unknowns surrounding Tyreek Hill. Like, that was a scramble situation. This is a, this sucks. We still will wait and see, but I don't think they need to all of a sudden change their draft board any more than what it currently was set at.
Yeah. I agree with you. I think it could open the door more for the type of receiver. I think maybe you could look
a little bit more at slot receivers than you were before. If you're worried about Rice's long-term ability, like, again, we don't know how things are going to turn out. Maybe the NFL will make a, you know, that's the problem with the NFL is there's no measuring stick from one punishment to the next. You look at a guy and you're like, how do you only get a fine? And you look at another guy, you're like, how do you get six games for that? And you know, there's it's an inconsistent league with inconsistent punishments, which is why it's important for all the facts to come out and all of us just to admit no one knows until it's handed out. Remember that one time there was even like, who was it? I don't know why the name's slipping me. It was recently, like a Chiefs player was like suspended middle of the season. Like suddenly the
Willie Gay Jr. was.
That was it. Was just like it was like the season's already started. And like 4 or 6 weeks in, whenever the NFL is like, you're suspended for a game. And you're like, why didn't you hand this out in the off season? So we plan accordingly. It was just like suddenly the NFL sweeps into a chess game. It's like, hey, I'm taking your rook off the board for a few moves because we want to. The NFL's silly like that.
Yeah. I want to move on and talk about the vote in regards to the stadium, the yes or no vote.
Can you summarize what's got, like, I'm not local like you.
Yeah, sure. So it's happening.
Can you
today
summarize and, for people?
Yeah. Until 7 p.m. Central or 7 p.m. Central today, you can vote yes or no. Yes is going to be a continuation, basically. So if you want to say it's, you've probably seen people on both sides say it's not a new tax because it's the 3/8, it's the same as the 3/8, or you've seen people say, yes, it is a new tax because once the prior one expires, this one now comes to effect. Whichever way you frame it, you're not wrong. You can make it fit your narrative whichever way you're going to. I'm trying to be unbiased here. I'm actually doing a whole show tonight on Sports Radio 810 when the vote comes out from 7 to 9 p.m. So if you guys want to tune in and see which way that this is actually heading, feel free. I'm trying to stay up to date as much as possible on this. But basically, they want a continuation of the 3/8 sales tax. And that's going to go both towards Kauffman getting moved. This current proposal is to the Crossroad area, right? And then this would also mean the Kansas City Chiefs would get some money as well. Something along the lines of 800 some million dollars over 40 years. And Clark Hunt was going to put in $300 million of his own to help revitalize Arrowhead. Chiefs did not want to move, right? So I think yes or no vote doesn't really matter. But I think the Chiefs would like the K to move somewhere else because that gives them more space. That allows them to do more things. And plus this, again, make sure they're getting more money, right? Clark Hunt had some interesting quotes today. I apologize. My laptop wasn't allowing me to pull them up because it was making me buffer. And I think that you guys don't want me to buffer. But again, the majority of this money will be to revitalizing, revamping Arrowhead, at least on the Chiefs side of things here.
Dude, you're buffer than most.
I try to. I've been trying to work out. I appreciate you noticing. Swiss Mr. KC says Jackson County resident for 30 years, big sports fan, not a fan of this proposal. Your opinion? My one concern is not with the Chiefs. I think if you're a Chiefs fan, you're okay. They're not going anywhere. This is a cash cow, man. The Chiefs aren't going to say, you know what, let's go to Nashville. Like, they're not, no, like, that's not going to happen. Like, that's absurd. I think if you are a Royals fan and a fan of Kansas City, and if you want the Chiefs to also be happy, I think you vote yes. Because again, I think the Chiefs want the K to move. They want all that there. They want to build their own stuff. They want more parking spaces. They want the money to continue going to them. They're not going back to the K, so vote no. That's my one concern is I think people think if they vote no, that means Kauffman stays where it's at. Sherman has already come out and said that no, they're going to find a place for this to go, whether that's Kansas City or elsewhere. I don't think they're going to move like Oakland, but you just never know. Baseball's a lot different than the NFL.
Have there been predictions about how things will likely play out?
It's like close, man. It is extremely close.
Are you surprised by that?
No,
I mean, past votes have been pretty like dominant, right? In favor of the what the sports teams are desiring.
I have to look it up again. I had it pulled up. I thought it was 53% yes last time this came around.
Oh, that's closer than I thought.
In whatever year it was originally, obviously the T-Mobile Center, the Sprint Center, that was put in. You know, a lot of that was on hopes of getting an NHL team or an NBA team, and that has obviously not happened. Thanks, Garth Brooks. I love Garth Brooks, but if you don't know the story, that was when OKC eventually got an NBA team because the Seattle Supersonics, they were looking for a new spot and they were going to play in, what was it, New Orleans, and then Hurricane Katrina hit and they had to find a place to play. It was going to be either Kansas City or Oklahoma City. And Garth Brooks sold out, what was it, 7 straight, I believe is what it was, concerts. And so they never got the opportunity to actually have host an NBA game.
Wow.
And they were like, oh, yeah, it probably wouldn't have made a difference. But I just like saying that Kansas City would have an NBA team if it wasn't for Garth Brooks.
Thanks,
I mean, again, and the Sprint Center is great, and their T-Mobile Center now is great. You know, they have the Big 12 tournament. I was there. It's fun. The Big 3, they have a lot of concerts. But again, that's not an NBA team. That's not an NHL team. So I guess that's a little bit of a concern is, hey, we were promised one thing, or at least we were led to believe one thing when this new undertaking happened, and that never happened. I think there's always going to be a distrust of trusting billionaires, always a distrust of that's great and all, but what about us? Where am I seeing the benefits when we're giving you all this money and you're revamping the end zone suites? I'm not ever going to see that. So why do I care about giving you more money? Mm-hmm. There's always going to be ways to frame this, you know, whichever way you choose. It's just a hard situation. Again, my goal is not to try and pick a side. My goal is trying to give information.
Yeah, no, I admire that. And I have a feeling that we have readers and or viewers and listeners who are going to fall on both sides of the aisle on this. By the way, one thing that we didn't get to, but the Legarius Sneed trade, you and I haven't talked since then. And I don't want to like go back to Sneed trade, except to say what happened.
Best comment of the day. Gwen says, I joined late, so I'm a little behind in the stream, but I'd buy an AA calendar.
Dude,
there we go.
We need that.
We have one person who would buy our calendar.
A sale of one.
It cost us a lot to make these, but if we sell just one, I think it's worth it.
I'm going to end up with like a stack of 500 calendars in my garage someday. And it's going to be like,
go door to door trying to sell them.
Yeah.
It'd be epic, dude.
Hey, I wanted just to ask about the cap space that the Chiefs have, because I'm looking at Mike Dana right now going, okay, you got a mid 20s guy who's gotten better every single year, set a career high in sacks with 6.5. Plays well against the run, can set the edge there, seems to be a sponge for coaches and does whatever he's told, can slide inside and out, and there hasn't been one peep about him in terms of free agency rumors. I haven't seen a visit. I haven't seen an agent speak up, whatever. I haven't heard him named as a rumor, anything. And I'm just going, where's the market? Have you thought the same?
Yeah, I've been very surprised by this. I thought his market was going to be pretty hot. I didn't think it was going to be crazy, but I thought it'd be pretty hot. It's a premium position, a guy that you know was going to be in the right spot, who is good against the run, who's good against getting after the quarterback. Not elite, not great, but he's solid.
Solid floor.
Yeah,
he can move
inside. He can move out. He's versatile. Again, he's perpetually done better than what I guess the metrics would have wanted you to believe when he came out of college. Yeah, I thought he was going to get a decent market. I thought he was going to go the way of an Andrew Wiley or a Nick Allegretti on the offensive side of the ball, where you go from a rotational piece, a break in case of emergency, and then all of a sudden you're like, no, I want to be a starter somewhere. So some team is going to overpay to make him a starter. Hasn't been the case. So how much of this is he just going to wait and see until he gets what he wants versus coming back another year, biting the bullet and saying, hey, all right, I guess I got to prove myself yet again. This time he has a better chance to, with Charles Minnehu missing a large chunk of the season. And whether or not the Chiefs believe, and even if the Chiefs do believe in FAU to be, you know, a guy, you're still having a rotation on the defensive line. So he would still get a good chunk of snaps. But yes, I'm with you, Matty C. I feel like his market has been a lot slower than expected.
Yeah, yeah. Before the draft, then, what signing do you want to see happen so that the Chiefs don't have to reach?
I don't know if there's one left. You know, I do think you're looking at Mike Danna.
Yeah, that's what I would say.
I don't know, because wide receiver, I know people are going to say Tyler Boyd. I'm out on him. He's so old. And you looked at what he's done the past few seasons. I mean, it's again, not old in the grand scheme of life, but old in the way he plays sure. now, man. I mean, yeah. like last year when Boyd and Higgins were getting injured, he never stood up. It was the Andre Iviotis, whatever the guy's name is, who was making plays. Like it was, who's the other dude? The long haired guy. I think it was number 16. White dude who was stepping up. Like it wasn't him. It was everyone else but Tyler Boyd. What does that tell you?
He's the Allen Robinson of this offseason.
Yeah.
If you will. Yeah, I'm with you. I think it has to be Danna. I think it makes sense that Danna comes back. I would like to see him come back. He's a great story. He deserves it. But yeah, I'm just shocked. I'm shocked that someone doesn't want a guy with two Super Bowl rings and all that experience, still so young, to be a part of their defensive line. Well, folks, we have covered everything from Clyde to Rice. But one thing we haven't covered, the must list. And to do so, let's must Richard in here. Richard, our esteemed producer, where are you?
I'm right here. How's it going? Chat, viewers, streaming the map.
Folks, at the end of every one of our Tuesday shows, we have something called the must list, where we recommend something to you, something we've usually read, watched, listened to, taken in, experienced somehow. I thought it could be fun to do a little thematic must list this week, however. So this week, our must list is sponsored by Little Debbie. Not really, by the way. Little Debbie, if you're out there and you actually want to sponsor the show, that would be hella cool, because I would just be, I'd even be more ready for our calendar shoots than I already am. That said, we thought we would go in and give our, actually, I said that we would do this, and I forced it upon these two guys. Richard probably had like the world's most obscure horror movie ready.
I started talking about the movie, and then Matt Connor just tuned out. Like, I just watched the life from his eyes just leave. So
I'm sorry.
I got to save mine. I had a good album I wanted to recommend, but
well, we could take it back.
No, we're stuck. We're stuck.
I tweeted we were going to talk about Lil Debbie. I want to talk about Lil Debbie.
Yeah, we're doing it.
I'm tired of Big Debbie. I'm tired of Big Debbie hogging the spotlight. Little Debbie deserves to be talked about. So I want
Sturdy Debbie. It's Sturdy Debbie.
Sturdy, mm-hmm. Sturdy. Big boned Debbie.
Thick Debbie.
Is Hefty. Out there. in terms of Little Debbie snack cakes, the must list. By the way, did you have Little Debbie snack cakes like growing up, like in your school lunch?
Of course. It was you. Yeah, my mom would pack me some. So
okay, good. Yeah, good. I didn't know how educated you guys were in these things. What's your must list, Richard? Start with you.
All right. You know what? I'm going to give a runner up. If we're doing Little Debbie's here for the Swiss rolls and the chocolate cupcakes. Those are standards. Those are my lunchbox standards. If my mom was packing me a lunch,
that's a good.
But. If we're going to go for, like, Richard, what do you want? You had one Desert Island Little Debbie cake. I'm going to go with the original, the OG, apparently. It's what their company was known for, the oatmeal cream pie. I'm a big oatmeal fan. Whoa. Those cookies bomb. I like those. I like them.
I do. I didn't know they were original. I wouldn't have considered them first.
At least it's their special. It was what the founder made, I guess, during the Depression. So it was one of the first things they manufactured, among other snacks. But
yeah.
I'm a fan of those. I will
eat fan of cream out. Pies.
Sure, Sterling.
Big Rich, huh?
Big Rich. Yeah, fan of the cream pie.
All right, thanks, Sterling.
Thank you,
Sterling. I'll make you go next. What do you got?
I actually love oatmeal cream pies as well. It's not gonna be my number one. The zebra cakes. You're right. The Swiss rolls fire. The cinnamon sugar donuts, the mini ones, also absolutely slap. Man, this is tough. I'm going through the list of all of them right now, and I'm back and forth.
We had Josh Clayton says Star Crunches are the best, and Kevin Lorraine says the Christmas trees. You got some other options there. Sterling, what was yours?
I think I'm going to go with the Swiss rolls. Those were the ones I always found myself drawn to as a kid.
Like a lot of these, but the donut stick.
Oh,
I mean, come on. That was like hard, like perfectly hardened glazed goodness, right? It was like dry as hell, So you had to have some sort of liquid to like uncement your mouth after the fact. But I loved that thing. No one, none of us brought up Star Crunch or Fudge Rounds. I'm a little surprised that those weren't at least mentioned in some way. I don't know.
Dog, I crush all Little Debbie snacks, like all of them.
He just has all of them on his, yeah, there it is. Swiss Mr. Casey says Ding Dong or Ho Ho. Both. I'm not sure Little Debbie's responsible for those. Are those Little Debbie's illegitimate children?
Those are, I forget. I want to confirm. Those are
Hostess? I mean, I'm in, but you know, Little Debbie's going to be mad for bringing them in the house.
Cosmic Brownie's also slapped as a kid. Oh. If you got a Cosmic Brownie, you knew you were in for a good time.
Mm. Yeah, I think that's an AA thing. I think maybe Verdram once mentioned that because we have those in the Discord as emojis. So
Cosmic Brownies?
Yeah, yeah.
Have we discussed Little Debbie before and I missed it?
But I don't think that's us, but just the AA podcast. I'm sure some old heads listening to this will go, yeah, they've talked about Cosmic Brownies in the past before.
Dude, why is Verdram taking all the good?
And zebra cakes. I think we have emojis for those.
Oh, zebra cakes also slap, dude.
Yeah. Dude, now I need a Little Debbie.
You know what song goes hard that I'm going to listen to the second we get off? Deborah by Beck.
Well, you know what? I just sang that at karaoke a few weeks ago. That's a good song. That's a
Did
fun
you
one.
Actually say, can you hit those high notes?
No.
Richard is getting that's up what makes there. It,
if anyone hasn't listened to Deborah, go listen to Deborah by Beck. That's my third must list. It's like all falsetto for like 7 minutes. It's funny.
Oh my gosh.
It's a funny song, too.
It's hilarious. It's great.
What album is that?
That's the one with the color. I forget what it's called. Mixed Business, I want to say. It's the one with Sex Laws. It's got that out.
That's a great song, too. Yeah. Isn't it a green background with him on it?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure that's Mixed Business, I want to say.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I don't know that one.
Or Lil Debbie. I want to record fourth must list. Listen to Lil Debbie, the rapper from the Bay Area.
Lil Debbie, the rapper. Dude.
Midnight Vultures. It's Midnight Vultures.
Oh, Midnight Vultures.
It's the green one with, it slaps.
Mick Business might be a song on that.
Yeah,
there it is.
Peaches and Cream, Milk and Honey, Deborah, Sex Laws. Yeah, I mean, yeah, good album.
Mm-hmm.
Well, folks, that's not quite the ending some of you expected, but that's what you get when you put these nutty buddies together. My name is Matt Connor. We have our producer, Richard Sterling Holmes, is our co-host and the bufferest guy out here. Thanks so much for listening. Welcome to our new weekly time. We hope you'll continue to join us every Tuesday now at 3 p.m. Central. Stay tuned for the rest of this week. We have all kinds of great content coming your way tomorrow with Adam Best. And by the way, when is Stacking the Box? Is that Mondays?
Richard?
That's going to be Mondays now at 4 p.m. Central.
Okay.
All right.
Yes.
So he's my timekeeper.
We have some time changes, but the show's still great. We're happy to have you all with us. Thanks so much for listening.